This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I am Wong Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill. Streaming video services have become the norm in Malaysian households in just a few years. We used to have to wait months, if not years, to watch a movie or TV series. Now we have control over what we want to watch and when to watch. So we have with us today Mark Britt, founder and group CEO of iFlix, one of the earliest movers in the mobile digital entertainment space when it was a novelty, to tell us the progress of the company and how it intends and continues to fend off the challenges when, ironically, this disruptor has become one of the incumbents. Welcome, Mark. We have come a long way in such a short time when it comes to streaming. Fast forward to today, and cutting the cord with traditional media has happened. So in the 4 years since you started iFlix, have you achieved the aim of being the world's leading entertainment service for emerging markets with the widest and most compelling selection you operate in? A declaration I found on your website, and also something you said on this very show in June 2015.
Wow. I remember that. I remember that interview. And in 2015, iFlix was a naive and ambitious idea that was just being staffed by some really passionate people who mostly had no idea what they were doing. And we were surrounded by skeptics in the traditional industry. Astro would say publicly that TV was their birthright in Malaysia, as if that's a thing. If it's okay for anyone to have a birthright. And people were wondering, you know, will anyone really watch TV on their phones? And will the mobile networks ever support it? And it's been an extraordinary journey over the last 5 years because it has become the norm.
But would you say you're the world's leading entertainment service for emerging markets? I mean, and the proof of that would be in your numbers, right?
Yeah.
Because in July this year, you disclosed that you have 17 million active users in the 22 markets you operate in.
Yeah.
Now, I know this is a nice big jump from 9 million 6 months ago. Mm. But I ask myself, is this jump because you changed your business model? I mean, you started in 2015 by charging subscriptions, right? Mm. And then sometime in the middle of 2018, you offered an ad-supported free tier.
Yeah.
Now, so this jump in numbers, was it because of the ad-free tier? And was this also driven because you just weren't getting the traction you needed in terms of subscriber growth or volume?
So, look, I think our deep passion and purpose as a business has always been to entertain as many people as possible. And if you're passionate about emerging markets, which is all we care about, and look, it's hard to call Malaysia an emerging market, but the economy and the culture is very different from the US. And so maybe let's sort of think about it from that perspective.
In some way, you do need to pursue this ad-supported free tier to grow the numbers, right? Because it seems that emerging markets or the consumers in the emerging markets are still reluctant to pay subscription for streaming services.
So what's interesting is there's two issues. One's a reluctance to pay. The other's an ability to pay. And what's been fascinating is it's the second problem's much bigger than the first. It's people's willingness to pay for great content because they want to be entertained and they want it on their terms. Many people don't have bank accounts. They're on a prepaid mobile phone. Depending on the country in Southeast Asia, in a market like Indonesia, they top up their prepaid balance every 2 or 3 days with 50 or 80 cents. So a lot of the things that we take for granted, even in a market like Malaysia, of you know, I buy things on credit card on the Google Play Store, and that just seems normal. That's not the normal experience for the mass market. One of the biggest things we're seeing, I think, in Southeast Asia is a mobile payments revolution. Whether it's Gojek in Indonesia or whether it's Grab in Malaysia, the proliferation of mobile wallets is going to make paying for things much, much easier. But right now, that's not the focus. Right now, it's about how do we entertain as many people as possible. And it's pretty rare, I think, in your life you get to work on something that you know is a generational change. Like this change is accelerating. We have tailwinds behind us in terms of how quickly the consumer shift is happening. And so this is the phase of the business where you're just trying to focus on reaching as many people as possible and making them happy. And then the phase on how you know, maximize monetization, do you charge, is it advertising and what that mix is? Honestly, I think that's the next phase.
So let's talk about ad revenue. Can I assume that it's still a small contributor to your top line versus the subscriber revenue, or is it about even?
It's about 50 this year.
Oh, okay. That's very fast, actually.
It really is. It really is. And look, here's why, right? Just in Southeast Asia, there's $4.5 billion of money spent on traditional TV advertising a year. And the number's going up. And yet all of us know from our own experience, from our kids' experience, from our friends' experience, people are switching off traditional TV. And so that advertising dollars want to follow audience attention. And the reality of iFlix is people are not wandering off to the bathroom in the middle of an ad break. We have incredible data on who they are, allows us to target the ads. And so we see a very rapid shift. The same way, for example, in the print world, the classifieds revenue moved very rapidly into online because online property classifieds was just a better business than looking at a couple of listings in a magazine. And once it shifted, it starts shifting very, very quickly. And we're seeing that now in television advertising. Is I think over the next 5 to 10 years, all television advertising will be digital. The idea of just a brand just sticking a 30-second commercial out and you and I seeing exactly the same ad, even though we may be a different consumer who wants different things, I think that's going to seem incredibly archaic in the next few years.
But the question I have is that then you're competing, okay, aside from the traditional free-to-air and Astro, the fight is then with other social media platforms, right? The likes of, let's say, Facebook. Because you do see a lot of advertisers spending money there, and it's all about cross-selling. So how does iFlix figure into this?
So there's two different trends, right? There's a macro trend, which is advertising dollars across the board are shifting from every other media into digital, and that's regardless. There's a specific question, which is there's a reason why people advertise on TV historically rather than print, rather than outdoor, and that is it works. It is the biggest brand-building medium to create beautiful emotional connections with customers. And great storytelling in ads has defined brands for generations. And so from that perspective, we're not really competing with Facebook. If you don't care where your ad goes and you're happy for it to go on a cat video, YouTube or Facebook is a great place for a TV advertiser to be. But if you care about your product and you want the integration of your ad to be in a beautiful show or a show that people deeply care about, that's iFlix.
And let's take a deeper dive on the challenges of operating in emerging markets. Mm. So your website says it's inconsistent infrastructure, inconsistent quality and distribution of internet connectivity, expensive, limited mobile data, and of course what you mentioned earlier, low credit card penetration.
Yeah.
Right. But some of these challenges have kind of fallen to the wayside, right, for some markets. Let's say in Malaysia. Mm. Let's bring it back home. Data has become much cheaper.
Much cheaper.
Yeah, and also things like credit card penetration, that has been somewhat overcome by the use of e-wallets, for example.
Starting to be, yeah. So I think separate to, forget iFlix, Southeast Asia is going through a digital transformation that is going to profoundly affect every single part of the economy. And it always blows us away when you see a CEO sitting publicly and saying, hey, it's time for us to start thinking about a digital strategy. There is not a sector that is, certainly not a consumer sector, that is not going to be profoundly changed by the shift to internet-based distribution. And the same way that all the rules broke down around an Astro or a Media Prima getting to choose when to broadcast you a show, those days are done. And once the rules shift and all the power's in the hands of customers, it's a completely different business model. Data suddenly becomes very important. The ability to iterate and scale and move quickly as a company becomes very important. And so often it's the disruptive businesses that actually win in that new battle. Whether you think of the way Grab has sort of very quickly come to dominate the entire taxi industry. And I love that as a consumer because my basic experience now is I don't need a car. What a wonderful outcome for me. And so I think that's going to happen right across all economies. And so the pace of change is increasing. The pace of consumer expectations is rapidly rising, and companies that don't have a digital culture and are able to embrace that new model are very quickly getting left behind. And so I think we're a beneficiary from that point of view, that it's getting easier. Instead of, we used to joke that we were trying to create the wave in the swimming pool, and it feels now, really in the last 12 months, where we're now surfing the wave with other people as well, not in our own. It's a much happier time than those first few years where you spent most of your time just trying to get the video to play.
And let's just spend some time on the markets you operate in. Indonesia is still a key market, right? But let's talk about some of the markets you exited because you launched in Africa in June 2017. Mm. But the following year, you then exited the market by selling your stake to TV player Kwesi. So what happened there?
As emerging markets become more sophisticated and higher sort of ARPU or financial means, what they want is better local content. And, you know, it's interesting. We've got to about 800,000 or a million customers in most markets with predominantly Western content. As soon as we started adding local content, that's when you move to really playing a much more important cultural role in any of the countries we operate in. And that's where it really started to expand to the mass market. And so that's been a wonderful thing for our business. But it also means actually to do that, you've really got to focus. You've got to be the best Malaysian service in Malaysia. You've got to be the best Indonesian service in Indonesia. And so as we realized that, we made the decisions to sell the businesses in some far-flung corners of the world. And so we're really proud of the work we did there. But as we focus more and more on local content, we look at the markets in Southeast Asia and they're big enough for us to handle. They're big enough opportunity to get us out of bed every morning. And they have a world of complexity culturally in each of these places.
And since we are talking about money and finances, right, let me guess, you aren't profitable. Are you even breaking even at the operating level? Because you've just completed one round of funding. You don't specify the size secured, but I get it's more than US 50 million. Mm. Now, is that a lifeline for you? Because you spent your 350 million that you've raised since your startup in 2015?
The wonderful thing about the entertainment and content business is that you get the opportunity to invest in creating extraordinary local TV. The horrible thing about the entertainment business is it's a capital intensive business.
Yes, and we've seen some OTTs fail. The burn rate is incredible. Yeah.
So when iFlix started, there were over 30 competitors in Southeast Asia, probably 100 globally. iFlix is now actually the only independent OTT business other than Netflix in the world. And so we're proud of that, but it's also just realistic, which is it's hard. And we like that because it's an enormous barrier to entry. There's 5 years and hundreds of millions of dollars in learnings, in mistakes, in optimization, and all of those things actually create a tremendous barrier to entry. So if you're even an Astro with all their resources and all their talent, it's a super hard business to get into at this point.
So when do you think you can eventually break even, if you had to estimate in what year?
Yeah, so we don't. We certainly don't do it on radio.
You're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Mark Britt, founder and group CEO of iFlix. After we come back, we will be talking about the importance of content and the financials of the group, whilst taking a close look at the competition. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Mark Britt, founder and group CEO of iFlix, which in its day was the disruptor to the media sector when it offered the novelty of watching what you want, when you want, for only 10 ringgit a month. Earlier, we discussed the changes in their business model and how they plan to overcome some of the challenges of operating in emerging markets. Now, Mark, do you agree with the statement that content is king?
And so it's definitely true that it is all about the content. Now, the interesting thing is when you try to download something on most internet services or Astro, it doesn't work. So at this point, it's still a technology-driven business, right? And so we often have the internal debate, are we a tech business or a media business? And the answer is they're not different things anymore. But at the end of the day, it still is all about the shows. As long as when you hit play, it works.
And we know your content is hyper-local programming,
yes,
right? That's your focus, isn't it? Because surprisingly, like you mentioned, that's what outperforms in emerging markets.
Incredibly.
But at the same time, we have seen increased competition. When you started in 2015, you were like the only boy out there, right? But today, we have similarly priced Asian players such as Hook and View. Now, how do you intend to compete with them? Because these guys are not traditional media players. They are just like you. They are disruptors.
Maybe. So two observations. They are, right? So two broad observations I'd make. The first is they're both owned by telcos. And telcos running digital businesses is a little bit like having your dad at the disco, right? Which is, it sounds
super
like...
super uncool,
well,
right?
It sounds like a good idea on paper when McKinsey does your business plan. But it doesn't really... You know, it's hard. These businesses are hard and you change and you move and they require agile governance. And so both of those are two competitors we have enormous respect for. But... history tells us, forget in any industry, disruptors tend to be pure play disruptors. Grab is not a subsidiary of a taxi business. Neither is Uber, neither is Facebook, neither is Microsoft. These are businesses that have a very deep, rich culture, passionate and obsessed with a very core singular problem. The second thought, and I think this is true for all internet businesses, is you really don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about your competition. You know, we have over a billion signals a day. So every day, customers' consumption on the network sends a billion data points into our servers to tell us different things. We should do more of this, less than this. That red button should be a shade of orange. There's constant what we call multivariate testing, A-B testing, going on live in the site. On any given day, your homepage will be different than mine, and we'll learn which is more effective for you and which is more effective for me. And so, honestly, that's what you wake up and think about every day. And if you do a great job of that, you win. Simple
but
as that.
Doesn't Vue, for example, concern you, Mark? Because when I go into Vue, right, and I have a look at it, it's very similar to iFlix in the sense that it's also got free with ads or subscription base. And they also offer a plethora of Asian shows, especially K-dramas, Korean dramas, which competes directly with your K-flix.
It does. That's right.
Right. So it's almost a similar model. So how do you get the eyeballs?
If you love Korean content, you should have iFlix and Vue. You really should. Because the content's completely different. Right now, if you just love Korean content and nothing else, maybe you can just have Vue. But you'll probably still come and join iFlix for all the other Korean content. But if you love a broad array of shows of local movies, local television, local football, local news, and Korean content, then iFlix would tend to be your first home. And then Vue might be your second home. But again, honestly, we don't see those guys as the competitor. The real competitor is piracy. The real competitor is people going home with their new high-speed broadband by TM, which is getting cheaper and cheaper, and BitTorrenting a show. That's the competitor, right? So if our product is better than piracy, if it's more convenient, if it's more compelling content, if it's easy to use, there is more than enough audience attention to go around. And I think you see most media businesses, print, TV, magazines, you end up having a few. You end up reading more than one newspaper. You end up having more than one channel. And so we're okay with that. We love Vue. We love Hook. I think we have a common passion, which is to convince people that they don't need to pirate it. So even as old TV gets worse and worse, there is a digital future for them, which is wonderful.
And Mark, I know you say you aren't competing with Netflix, and you said this in 2015 because it's the international big OTT player, right? But you're talking about a very different Netflix today. They spent US$13 billion, which 85% was original productions, right? And it looks like they're coming to this region because Netflix was quoted on Hollywood Reporter that they're starting their first original series out of Southeast Asia. So your budget of US $113 million original content looks quite tiny compared to Netflix.
It's so tiny.
So how are you going to compete with them?
I don't think you can. Netflix is such an extraordinary company. And so for you and I, the people in the top 1 or 2 or 3% of the community, we'll use a global service. We'll have HBO and we'll have Netflix and we'll have Disney and we'll have Hulu. But the mass market, that's the Android audience. It's not that they can't afford an Apple, but a $1,500 US phone, it just doesn't even fit in the parameters for somebody who's earning 10,000 US a year, which is the average iFlix customer. And so Netflix will do local content. I think it's great. But local content's all iFlix does. If I give you a great example, we worked with Media Prim early this year on a show called Noor. And Noor is an extraordinary Malaysian drama. It's set in a mosque with the, not the imam, the religious leader in the mosque.
Ustas.
Yeah, the usta, thank you. Falling in love with a prostitute. These are themes that are very challenging to explore from a cultural point of view. And done badly, they're deeply offensive. Done well, they're controversial but engaging and a positive contributor to society. And that's what it takes to be in the local market. And if you don't live and breathe Malaysia, you couldn't possibly understand the complexity of those things. And so we love Netflix, like I think all the Android people love Apple, and their price goes up every month, and you'll probably keep paying more and more. And for the average person on the street or in the Mamak, they kind of don't care about it.
But don't you think the taste of the mass market or the viewing habits will also change as everyone gets richer in this region, right? So maybe now they don't want to pay for international content. But soon, let's say Netflix, 33 ringgit is the cheapest option. Mm. will that become affordable one day, and how are you going to compete with them? Because this is not just Netflix coming to this region, right? We're going to have Disney Plus soon. I think sooner or later, Apple streaming will be here. So how do you intend to take on these big international guys as affluence also rises in this region and taste changes?
So, you know, as an entrepreneur, if I ever have to think about it's us versus them, it's so scary. Like, come on, how's a group of people in Malaysia ever going to possibly compete with that sort of global scale? No matter how hard we work, right? It's just you're not going to get there. So we wouldn't do it if we thought that was true, right? So let's think about a market like Malaysia. Over the next 10 years, people will become more affluent. Education levels are rising. Language skills are rapidly growing. People are becoming more sophisticated, and their entertainment needs are becoming more sophisticated. So are they more interested in watching a $130 million show called The Crown about the Queen in England? Or do they want to watch the brand new version of K.O. Gangster, which is one of the most successful movie series?
Because I do think there is room for, let's say, in your household to have maybe two streaming services. I mean, in US, the average is about 2.83.
Yeah, that's right. In the UK, it's now 1.8. In Australia, it's almost 2. That's right.
The question is, will you be one of the two?
Yeah.
Because if you're talking about affluence, maybe in a household, eventually it'll be one international OTT. Mm. But will you be one of the local OTTs? Mm. Will it be Hook? Will it be Vue? Or iFlix?
Yeah. And you know the good news? It's actually just an execution question. If you wake up every day and you listen to your customers and you do what they want you to do, then you succeed. And if you don't, you won't.
And Mark, you know, iFlix is like our own Malaysian unicorn, right? It's a mini unicorn. I wouldn't say it's like a Uber.
Yep.
And like all unicorns, the goal is a listing. So we do see reports that you're planning to list in either the Australian Stock Exchange or even the New York Stock Exchange, valuing the company at $1 billion. Now, how true is this? Because your chairman, Patrick Grove, has this knack for listing companies, right?
He does have a knack, doesn't he? He's done okay.
He's done five companies since 1999. Yeah. So the track record is there. What's the plan?
Two things. I can't answer you. Because in any scenario where you're contemplating a listing, you can't talk about it publicly. And then the second is, even if I could, I wouldn't answer to. So let me just talk more generically, which is it actually doesn't matter, right? Whether iFlix is owned privately or whether iFlix is listed on a public market makes no difference. Our customers don't care. Content owners don't care. People watching TV every day don't care. There are some advantages to being public. You can move more quickly.
You can have access to capital.
Yeah. And look, let's be honest. The economic conditions in the world are very volatile at the moment. And I don't know what happens in the next few years between the US-China trade war, the shifts going on from an economic point of view through Southeast Asia. And so there are advantages to being private through that period of uncertainty. There's also advantages to being public. And so the board has large-scale debates about those things from time to time, and it will pick one path or another over time.
What about selling out? Who would buy iFlix?
It's interesting. iFlix loses less money than its competitors. So it's honestly, in the next 10 years, we're going to go from reaching 20 million people a month to reaching hundreds of millions a month. And when we've done that and we felt like that's when you're really the world's leading anything, right? That's when you're a core part of the social infrastructure and that you're contributing to the culture of these rapidly changing countries, I think that's when you start thinking about things like that.
Thank you for your time today, Mark. It has been an interesting discussion on iFlix. This has been The Breakfast Grill. I am Wong Xiaoning for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, Frost & Sullivan's Malaysia Mobile Service Provider of the Year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.